the 12th chapter, and we look in starting here, and I thought it was interesting as the new king, Saul, has been announced. And they're having a meeting here, and it's kind of like an inauguration meeting, I guess you might say, in our place. But I thought it was so interesting. In our country, you know, the president speaks and things, you know, all these things, and which is all right. But here we have Samuel doing the preaching at this meeting. And it's a tremendous, we can learn some tremendous things, I believe, from this. But Samuel, that man of God, steps up to the plate and begins to preach a message to them and has some things again to say to Israel, which is going to be very, very important. So we find in chapter 12, said, "And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day." I'm not going to read any more to start with. I just kind of want to make mention to you. Samuel was one of the old prophets of God, the men of God like we need today. Now, I understand the prophets are not like that. Therefore, we're not prophets that we're showing forth what is going to happen in the future. But we are prophets in the fact that we give forth what God has already said. That's the difference today. And in preaching today, we don't have any new things to give you. All we do is give you what God has already said in His Word. But we have Samuel here stepping up in front of Israel and preaching exactly what he needed to preach. He was not afraid to face them and give them exactly what they needed. Now, I'm going to say this. You don't find me usually trying, and I'm not trying to run anybody down, but something happened during this time of the plane incident. And Jerry Falwell got up and talked about that it was the homosexuals and abortion and all of this which helped bring that back. And he is right. But now he's offering an apology. You wouldn't find Samuel offering an apology. You won't find the old prophets of God. Can you imagine Paul going into the city of Corinth as he preached to that city, wrote that letter to that city, and apologizing to him for it? You don't apologize for what God says. And I thought, because at first I thought, well, I'm glad he made a statement. I'm glad he said something, you know. But then he apologizes for it. That's sad business. But I just want you to know, Samuel didn't apologize. Samuel preached what needed to be preached, and he laid it on the line for him. And that's exactly what needed to be done, exactly what needs to be done in our country today. It needs to be done in our churches today. I'm not getting much response, but it needs to be done. Exactly what needs to happen. All across this land, if we do not call this country back to God, I'm going to tell you right now, we are in big trouble. Now, you don't have to believe that. You can do whatever you want with it. But this old preacher is telling you, we're in big trouble. And in fact, right here in some of the teachings that we're going to give today falls right in exactly with what's happening to America today. And the same principles are here. Samuel got up and he preached exactly what he ought to have preached. He basically done, and I think we started on this a little bit last week, but I mentioned to you, he started off, if you want to call it the goodness of Samuel or the holiness of Samuel. Now, we know Samuel was like any other man. He was only good because he had God. He was only good because God in him. That's the only reason that he's good. But we find him, and he had a reason for this. He begins to kind of vindicate himself by saying, here's what I did in my ministry. And he said to them, he said, I have walked before you from my childhood in this day. Verse 3, behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. See, he begins because if you remember, if you've been here in the teaching, he already warned them what the king was going to do. The king was going to take from them. From every area of their life, the king was going to be busy taking from them everything from them. He established the fact he had not done that. He had not done that. See, he didn't take any bribe. He didn't take anything like that. He had always been honest before them. This had to be established before he could preach the rest of this message and tell them some things. It had to be established that they were wanting a king, not because Samuel had failed. Samuel had not failed. And so it was because they failed in wanting a king. And so that had to be stated. It had to be shown to them the reason they were wanting a king. Now, in verse number 1, of course, we see how he talked about that he had hearkened. He said, "I have hearkened unto your voice in all," he said, "that you said unto me, and have made a king over you." Notice there again, he's not saying, "I'm relinquishing to you and letting you have this king because I'm weak and don't want to stand up to you." No. He said, "I'm giving you a king because God said to." Because God said to do it. Samuel was not in some all at once weakness and was afraid to stand up before Israel. That was not true. He said, "I'm giving you a king because God said to give you a king. That's why I'm doing it." And basically, and I know we talked about this before, but just I'll mention it. The very thing that he was giving them, that God was giving them, was going to become their punishment. And we've even talked about that before. You got to be awful careful. And I'm not going to, you know, spend a lot of time on it, but you got to be careful what you ask God and continue to ask God for outside of his will. Because sometimes he may just go ahead and give it to you, and that's the very thing he'll use as the punishment or the chastisement. You've asked out of his will. You don't want to mind him. And that's exactly what Israel was doing. They knew that God had not told them to have a king. They had been told, I think it's 3 different times here by Samuel, time he gets done, warned them that they was not to have a king, but they asked for it anyway, you see. And sometimes, let me just make this statement, and maybe it'll kind of help us. Sometimes we get our way about something, and we're prone to think, well, if we got our way, if this is what happened, then surely that's what God wanted. There's one way to judge whether a thing is right or wrong, and that's this book. That's this book. It isn't, remember something, prosperity is not an assurance that we are walking in the will of God. The way you decide whether you're walking in the will of God or not is this book, the Bible. There's many people who are prosperous that are not walking in the will of God. You understand what I'm saying? So don't judge, "Oh, I must be in the will of God. I've got this and I've got that. And boy, I can," No. That's not how you judge it. You never judge that. You judge, am I doing what God says? Am I following the Bible, the Word of God? That's where you judge, see whether we're in the will of God or not. Not because we're prosperous, not because we have a bunch of things. You see, America has a lot today, but I want to tell you right now, she's out of the will of God. She has so many material things, and if you want to call them blessings, but things just add up and add up. But she's out of the will of God today. You see, we can't look at America and say we've had all of these good things and say, well, we're in the will of God. America's in the will of God. No, you can't do that. You got to judge whether they're doing it according to the book. All of us are doing it according to the book. That's how we've got to judge that, you see. So in verse number 2 and 3, he had already told them, of course, that they was going to have a king and that it was wrong for them to do that. And he was warning them once again about that. Now in verse number 3, that he promised them. They promised him there's going to be some things that would happen. Let's read it. "Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes? Therewith I will restore it." And what he done was, he wanted to be sure and clear the fact and made it clear before them that the reason that they was getting a king was not because he himself had failed. This was very, very important, because they was getting a king because they wanted to go against the will of God, not because Samuel had failed. Samuel had not failed. And he brought it right down to it, to where he made them say it. You have not failed. You have not done it, you see. And that's what happened in verse number 4. And he says, and said, thus has not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither has thou taken aught of any man's hand. They admitted here that he was a good man, that he had not done these things. Now, so basically, what was the truth? Well, they wasn't asking for a king because Samuel was a failure. No. They was asking for a king because they wanted to go against the rule of God in their life. And let me say to you, basically, that's what they was saying. We don't want you to rule over us. We want a king to rule over us. They was saying that to God Almighty, not just to Samuel, you see. Then what he done, he began to use history as a teacher. And let me say to you, boy, we can learn a lot from history. History will help us if we'll not forget. We, even as Christians, boy, if we can go back into the history of Israel, and I do that a lot in my preaching. I don't know whether you know that or not, but I go do that a lot in my preaching. You go back to Israel and you say, look what happened to Israel. Now, if we don't straighten up, the same thing's going to happen to us. And you just got to go look back at history and see what happened, because in 1 Corinthians he tells us that he's given us that happened to Israel for an example to us. We read that, I think, last week, but as an example to us, you see. So we need to know what happened to Israel. So in verse number 7, I'm going to skip up there. He says, now therefore stand still, and that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. See, he points them back, and I might just mention this. Maybe it'd be a good thing to mention. He says, look what he says, and therefore stand still that I may reason. That's very important. I don't know whether you remember or not, but when he spoke to Saul the very first time, he told him to stand still. Stand still. I want you to listen. Now you might think about this for a moment. When people are moving around, talking to each other, and things, they're not listening. When people get active in the church services and doing other things, they are not listening. And what Samuel is saying to them, to Saul, you stand still. Now he's saying to Israel, you stand still and you listen. I've got some things that you need to hear. And so that certainly was showing that they needed to be attentive to exactly what he was going to tell them, because he was going to tell them some very, very important things. And so he told him to stand still. Now, he says, he wants to show them the purpose behind looking at Israel's history. He said, he's showing them, he said, I want to reason with you. That word reason speaks of to judge or to plead. I've got some things that I want to show you. I want to look back at history and show you what they did in history. And I want to plead with you that you will reconsider this and not ask for a king. See, I want to do this, you see, and I want to reason with you. So we find that what he begins to do then, again, he begins to look at history. And he says in verse number 8, when Jacob was come unto Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. If you notice there, he goes back and he talks to them about when Jacob was come to Egypt. And he's noticed there, it says, and your fathers cried unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord. They asked God for help. And he said, what did God do? Well, he sent Moses and Aaron and helped them and brought them out. So he was saying, I want you to remember that back in history. I could just take a moment and say, we need to go back in our history. Was there a time when God sent someone to tell us about Christ? Well, I want to tell you, there was someone sent to me and my family to tell me about Christ. I've told you many times, a neighbor across the road was so gracious in helping us and getting us to church. Somebody needs to speak to your neighbors and my neighbors about Jesus Christ. We've got to do that. You see, that's a responsibility for us to do that. So he said, and what did they do? Well, they cried unto the Lord. You see, they got in trouble, and so they cried unto the Lord. And of course, on down in verse number 9, he says, and when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and unto the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. We're in 1 Samuel, the 12th chapter. Yes, ma'am. And so he said there again, they forgot the Lord. If you will look at this whole thing as you read down through, it's very interesting. He said, let me tell you why it is that you got yourself in such problem. You forgot God. I mean, that's the whole story about it. You forgot God. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't think it was a biological problem with brain cells. I do not think that they, I forgot there was a God. That's not what God's saying. Now, sometimes you and I do forget things. The older folk are shaking their head, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. But we forget things. I forget things. And we forget to do something, or, you know, and sometimes we men will forget maybe an anniversary, and that's a no-no. But what I'm saying is we forget things, but that was not the problem here. The problem was not that they brain-wise forgot God. They put God out of their life, out of the everyday life. Let me say something to you now, and hopefully it'll help. That's why you need to read the Bible every day, some of it. That's why you need to pray every day. That's why you need to be in church on Wednesdays and Sundays. You need to be here to hear the Word of God preached. Why? You won't forget God and His Word. You see, and that's so needful that you do that, because if you don't, listen, folks, you will forget God. You say, oh, no, I know there's a God. No, it's more than just knowing there's a God. It's knowing what His principles are, what His teachings are. And we need to be reminded of them over and over and over again. And we need to read them in our home, you see, and talk to God in prayer, because so we won't forget God. But the whole problem here of Israel was they forgot God, you see. And, well, there's a lot of things that you can forget, folks, that'll give you a lot less consequences than forgetting God. Amen? I mean, you know, there's things we ought not to forget, and sometimes we do because we're the old human brain, but we can't afford to forget God. See, we can't afford that, because that brings great consequences to us when we forget Him, you see. So we need to be around His Word and remember Him on a daily basis and get Him involved in everything that we do. You know, I've told you before, just don't be afraid to ask God to help you know what shirt to put on, or what pair of pants to put on, or what pair of shoes to put on, or what you're, you know, what you're going to eat for breakfast. You say, well, that's silly. No, I don't think so. I think God wants involved in our life. You know what I mean? I mean, I just believe He does. I just believe He wants to know if we're wanting to take a different route to work. I think it's good to ask Him about it. I mean, I'm just telling you, I think He needs to be in everything in our life. He just, you know, and that's you're not going to forget Him if you've been involved in everything in your life, you see, even the very small things. But then what happened was, in verse number 8, look at it, says, let me see here. Let's read verse 10. And they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And then he said in verse 11, we'll go ahead and read that and then come back. He says, and the Lord sent Jeroboam and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelt safe. And once again, he gives them a time when they cried unto God. They asked, they got in trouble. They cried unto God. In fact, in verse number 8, it talks about they cried unto God up there in verse number 8. And your fathers cried unto the Lord. We find also then in verse number 10, it talks about them crying unto the Lord. First part of, you see. And he said, what happened when they got in trouble? Your fathers got in trouble. They cried unto the Lord. And he said, that's what should happen. But then look exactly what he says then after that. He says in verse 12, and when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. And notice here, they didn't cry unto the Lord. See, they didn't do that. They got in trouble. Here they was going to come against them. And possibly destroy them. Did they cry unto the Lord? No, they came to Samuel and cried unto Samuel and said, we need a king. You see, and he was using history to say, you know what they did when they got in trouble, when they was in bad shape and they got where they shouldn't have been and they had sinned and all of these things, what they did, they cried unto God. But here you come and we're in trouble again. Are you crying unto God? No, you're not crying to God. You're coming asking for a king. In other words, he was asking man's help instead of God's help, you see. And that's the problem. And let me say something to you. I just believe with all of my heart. I hope America gets it. I hope we get a hold of this thing. You see, because, you know, I don't know whether you noticed it or not. You probably did if you watched any of the news. When President Bush called out for a day of prayer and remembrance, you remember that? Did you notice most news media dropped the prayer and called it a day of remembrance? I don't know if you took notice of that or not. They even had it on their screen, day of remembrance. They dropped the prayer. You see, we're missing the boat. America is missing it. You see, we still believe, and I believe it too. I believe we ought to go after those terrorists. I think we ought to do everything that we can do to get them. I'm convinced of that. This is a horrible tragedy. We ought to do everything. And I pray every day for President Bush. I'm sure many of you do too, to give him wisdom and know what to do as he goes after these people. But folks, we can have the greatest army in the world. If we don't have God, that army will come to naught. See, that's what people don't understand. You see, we need to cry out to God. We need to cry out to God, you see, and tell him we have sinned. And that's another thing here, if you watch this, the two illustrations he gives of the people who God sent to help them, they had already cried out to God and had already confessed sin. They said, we have sinned. Here, they did not confess sin. They didn't cry out to God. They cried out to Samuel. They cried out for a king. But they didn't confess sin. This is one of the greatest needs of our country. We must understand, folks, we have sinned in this country. We are away from God. And just to cry out to God for help is not going to get the job done. We're going to have to start confessing sin. And as a nation say, oh God, we've turned from you. You remember in the message last week I mentioned, you know, if the Supreme Court wants to do right, if they really want to cry out to God, they really want to confess sin, they'll get back in special session and they'll get this prayer back in the schools. They'll say, I am sorry, God, we've failed, we've sinned, but they're not doing that. You understand what I'm saying? And even the normal people I hear when I talk to people, and I know I'm just here in a little area, so I don't see it all, I don't know all that's going on. But I don't hear people saying, oh, we need to repent. We've sinned. And because of this, this is happening because we've sinned. See, that's what he was telling Israel. And they didn't either. They didn't confess their sin. They didn't cry out in their sin. They came and said, we need a king. It's almost saying like we need a great military. And I think we do have a great military. And I'm thankful for our military. But folks, if we don't have God, and we don't get right with God, that military won't get the job done. It won't get it done. So what do we need? Well, we need to do, just like Samuel was telling them, we need to cry out and say, oh God, we need your help. Yes, we need your help. We need deliverance. But oh God, it's because we've sinned. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what we need. We need that so much. And it didn't go any better. You can call me a fanatic. You can call me anything you want to call me. But I'm going to tell you right now, this thing's not going to stop if we don't get right with God. It is not going to stop. We're going to have to cry out to God and say, oh God, we've sinned. And then ask him for deliverance. And that's when you find God delivering, is after we've admitted our sin, you see. As a nation we need to. As individuals we need to, you see. You know, I've had to research my life. since this thing happened. I've had to go to God and say, God, there's areas I've not been doing right, not what I should be doing. And God, I'm sorry. And I call it sin. I don't say it's a mistake. I call it sin. You know, understand what I'm saying? I think individually, we've all got to do that. As a church, we've got to do that. As a church, we've got to get right with God. We've got to do what God wants us to do. We've got to get busy. True? Amen? You know, I'm convinced of something. I know, and I've preached this a lot of times, but I know what the work of the church is. The work of church is not political. The work of the church is getting people saved. That's what we've got to do. We've got to hone in on. How long do we have left to get people saved? See, our work must be to get people saved. We've got to do that. You see, that's the work of church. It isn't political. God never brought us here as a political entity to help straighten out everything. No, he brought us here to get people saved. Came seeking to save that which is lost, Jesus says. Amen. You see, that's the work of the church. We may talk about all these things that's happening, but it all must be for a reason, to get people saved. You see, that's our work. You see, I don't know how much longer we got. How many is going to die in another tragedy like this that's never been witnessed to? You understand what I'm saying? We've got to get people saved. We've got to get the gospel out there, you see. So what happened was Israel was not confessing sin here, you see. And he goes ahead and he goes on down and talks to him about these things in history where that the fathers before had confessed their sin. They'd cried out to God for deliverance, sure, but they had confessed their sin. Now, in verse number 14, he says, "And if you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God." He says, here's the recipe. If you want the blessings of God, he said, here's the recipe. He said, you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to fear the Lord. You're going to have to serve him. Now, I want you to notice what he says. You're going to have to fear God. You're going to have to serve him. And you're going to have to obey him. That's the recipe. He said, you want your country taken care of? You want your country back like it was? You want to be help the enemy that's coming against you? You want them defeated? Here's the recipe. You need to fear God. You need to serve God. And you need to obey God. Amen? See, that was the recipe. Many times, I've said to myself, you know, and I hope I can say this rightly, because I think we do have some wonderful teenagers around here. Young people, not just teenagers, but young people coming up. I think we've got some wonderful young people. They're not perfect. And they won't be. But I think we got some wonderful young people. I've had people say to me, and I've had other adults say to me, "I just wish my kids acted like that." Let me tell you what it is. They want the product, but they do not want the recipe. They do not want the recipe. They're not willing to go through what it takes to get the product. You understand what I'm saying? No, they want it to just be handed to them, just easy. It isn't easy. It isn't easy raising children in a godly manner. It takes work from you parents. It takes work. Amen? It is just come automatically. See, well, that's what our nation wants. Our nation wants everything just straightened out again. Just want the blessings of God. We want to go back to normal like we are. We're not going to go back to normal. It ain't going to happen unless we get right with God. It ain't going to happen. You can say anything you want to do. It isn't going to happen. See, everybody wants the stock market to get back up there and then we'll be happy again. Problem's not the stock market. The problem is spiritual. The problem is our relationship with God Almighty. That's the problem. That's why we're having all these troubles. Stock market may go back up, but that's not the answer. It's not the answer. You see, and we may get some of those terrorists, but that's not the answer. The answer is God is speaking to us and calling us back to himself to repent and confess sin and get right with God. God is doing that. And I believe with all of my heart this thing is going to continue if we don't see a turning back to God Almighty. Just let me, you know, and you don't have to answer this, but just in your own heart, how do you feel about it in your own heart? I'm not asking you to answer that, but how do you feel about it? Do you feel like we need to repent and turn to God? Do you think we need to be confessing sins to our wonderful God? Do you think God went asleep when those planes run into those buildings? Do you think that was an accident as far as God's concerned? He allowed it. There's over 6,000 Americans. I don't know whether you heard that or not, but they said this is the most Americans has ever died in one day in the history of the United States of America, even in war. No more Americans has ever died than 6,000 Americans in one day, even in war. Don't that say something to us? Don't that tell us something? Oh, I know there's been horrible times in war. I know all those things. But folks, this has been the horriblest tragedy in a one-day tragedy. And God lifted his hand and let it happen. I'm not blaming God. I'm saying he lifted his hand and allowed it to happen. And in verse number 15, he says, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. He said, there's the two ways. He said, now you're either going to obey me and serve me and fear me. You're going to do that. Or if you're not, then I'm not going to protect you. Amen. Same principle. I'm not going to protect you. You see? So we need God's protection. Don't you agree with that? Boy, I want God's protection, and we need God's protection, you see. Well, if we need God's protection, then we need to fear him, serve him, and obey him. Turn to him, you see, and confess our sin and turn to him. Now, look what happened. I don't have a lot of time, but look what happened in verse number 16. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing, which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. See, what happened was, they were not responding to Samuel's message. They was just listening and hearing it, but they was not responding. They really wasn't believing it. So Samuel said, okay, maybe this will open your eyes. He prayed and asked God to send a storm. And notice it was in wheat harvest. Brother Jack, there's a lot of beans out in them fields right now. If a horrible storm, hail and rain and wind would come, wouldn't it be a mess? You'd lose a lot of, you sure would. It's exactly what happened to Israel. They wouldn't listen to the words of the prophet Samuel. They would not listen. So he prayed and he said, God, show them. See, if we don't listen with God's words, we sometime are forced to listen through his works. You understand? See, some people will never be touched by simply speaking and hearing what God says and saying, oh my, look what God's going to do and we got to repent. Some will never be touched that way. But I'll guarantee you what, God has a way of waking us up, taking two towers down and part of the Pentagon. I mean, did that wake anybody up? Did that get our attention? That's what Samuel says, I want to get your attention. God send a storm right in wheat harvest. And he did. And look what happened. So Samuel, in verse 19, and all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all of our sins this evil to ask us a king. Isn't it amazing? After the storm come, all at once they admit they've sinned. First time. They didn't do it through the preaching. Had to wait till the storm came and the wheat crop was destroyed. Then all at once they want to cry out to God now once again and say, we have sinned. We have sinned. See, it took the storm to do it. So you see, there's principles there. What I'm trying to say to all of us is that same principle is in America today. It's going to take the storms to wake us up because most folk are not being woke up even with this storm that we had. They're not really being woke up. They're going back to their normal ways. And they're not crying out to our great God and confessing the fact that we're sinners and need God's help. Amen? So it's the same exact principle. And there's more to do, but it's about time for us to close. But hopefully that'll be a help to you, help you to understand where we're at in America, how they were in Samuel's day. That's exactly the same principle that was used. Same thing happened. So us as a people, let's remember where our help is, and it comes in response to us admitting we're sinners. We've failed God, you see, here in this great country of ours. Let's get this country back.